Of Colossians, chapter 1. Can I have two messages today from the book of Colossians? Colossians, chapter 1. You know, a few years ago, there was a phrase that was going around different churches. This is probably back in the 70s, maybe early 80s. And the phrase was, Jesus first. And there was little pins that said Jesus first and all different kinds of memorabilia, I guess you would say, of Jesus first. It's kind of the same thing of following that, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Bracelets and pins and different things. And from time to time, you know, those kind of things come to the front. But I like the slogan, Jesus First. I actually have a little pin, lapel pin that says that. Whatever we do, Jesus ought to be first. First in everything. First in our day. First in our schedule, first in our thoughts, first in our life. He's to be first today. He's to be first tomorrow. He's to be first next week and next year, as long as the Lord would tarry and allow us to live for Him. He's worthy, so worthy to be first in each one of our lives. You know, we have the privilege to allow Him to be first in our life. And when we don't allow Him to be first in our life, we grieve Him. We discourage Him, if God can be discouraged. It says the Holy Spirit can be grieved. But I want to challenge us anew this morning to put Jesus first in our life. And as Paul was writing the Colossians, he is certainly challenging them to put Jesus first in their life, first in their church. In Colossians chapter 1, let me read a few verses beginning in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Of course, referring to Jesus Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Let's pray. Father, as we consider this text this morning, oh, that we might do some inspecting of our own hearts, some examining to be certain that Thou art first in our life. First in our thoughts, first in our heart, first in our actions, first in our schedules. Oh Lord, may You have the rightful place that You so deserve in our lives. Lord, as we see the challenge to the Colossians, might it be a challenge to our own lives this morning. What a privilege, what a joy we have to allow You to lead us, to be first place, to be the preeminent one in our lives. Might You use Your word once again, the power of Thy word, to transform us, to make us more like Thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we read that text, as I read this recently, there are four positions that are mentioned in this text that Jesus holds. Four different things that Jesus is and rightfully deserves to be in our lives. These four positions are positions of authority, positions of priority. And they ought to be positions of priority in my life and in your life. So as we look at this morning, let's ask ourselves, is this the place that Jesus has in our life? The first position we find is in the beginning of verse 18. Jesus is the head. He is the head. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the believer. No other angelic being, no other human figure can take the place of Jesus as the head of your life, the head of this church. He is the authority. He's the head. And with that, let's go to the second position that we find here. Jesus is the beginning. The beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Again, following there in verse 18. Jesus being the beginning, He is the cause. He is the origin of all things. Before Him, there was none else. He is the beginning. And then it mentions that He is the firstborn. Interesting phrase here. The firstborn from the dead. Now, the word born here is not referring to physical birth. Jesus did take the form of a body when He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. But that was not His beginning, as some would like to think. That is merely His coming to earth and taking the form of a physical body and living out His 33 years upon earth, and then returning back to where He was before. So it is not referring to physical birth, but the fact He was first in existence, the first to exist amongst any creatures. In verse 15, it mentions Him as the firstborn of every creature. Again, not referring to the physical birth, or not referring to the fact that He was a created being, for the next verse says, He created all things. So in verse 16, by Him were all things created. He's not the created one, He's the creator. They are all things were created by Him that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And notice the next few words, and for Him. For His glory. So as we live out these days, we are to live for Him. We are to live for His glory. That's why we were created. To give glory to Him. To give praise to Him. To give honor unto Him. So before Him, there was no one. In the beginning was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not the same person, the same essence, the same nature, the same character in three different personalities. The Trinity is one of the hardest things there is to explain. We can't explain it. We can't comprehend it because we don't think necessarily in those terms. But we know that God is in the person of the Father. God is in the person of the Son. God is in the person of the Holy Spirit. His nature, His essence. So since Jesus is the first before all things, He ought to be the first in rank over all things in our life and in the universe. Sad to say that many crowd out Jesus Christ. They don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want Jesus Christ in their life. They don't want Jesus Christ in their family. They don't want Jesus Christ in their business. But one day, unfortunately, they're going to have to pay the price. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess as to who Jesus is. The firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. He was not the first raised from the dead. There were certainly Lazarus was raised up by Jesus. There were others that were raised up by Jesus. So it's not saying he was the first to be raised from the dead. Rather, he is to be preeminent among those raised from the dead. All those that were raised from the dead by Jesus died. But Jesus that was raised from the dead lives forever. There's a big difference. He is the preeminent one of those that were raised from the dead. You know, when you think of a firstborn, I don't know if you're a firstborn in your family, but there are certain rights and privileges given to the firstborn. I'm the firstborn in my family. And so when my parents died, they gave me the responsibility, I guess you would say, of being the executor of their things, their belongings. I was pleased to do so. But there's certain rights and privileges that a firstborn child holds. And as we look through the scriptures, there were certain rights and privileges that were given to the firstborn. We could go back to Jacob and Esau and other siblings that the firstborn carried the birthright and rights and privileges. Well, Jesus holds the elevated rank of firstborn over all creation. First in existence over all creation. There is none that is ranked higher than Jesus Christ over all creation. Therefore, he ought to be the one that we exalt and put as first place in our life. I hope that he holds that position in your life as a believer. So we see two different positions here that Jesus ought to hold. That of head. The head of your life. The head of this church. And that of beginning. The first. The firstborn. The first in existence. And then let's look at a third position that we see also here in verse 18. Jesus is preeminent. Preeminent. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminent simply means to be first. First. Everyone wants to be preeminent. Sports teams want to be preeminent. They want to be first. They want to be the one that everyone looks at as winning first place, winning the championship. NFL teams want to win the Super Bowl. NBA teams want to win the NBA championship. Major baseball teams want to win the World Series. Those involved in the NHL want to win the Stanley Cup. They want to be preeminent. They want to be first place. Sad to say, that carries over into many of our lives. We want to be first. We want to be thought of as the best. We want to be respected in our jobs as first, as the best. Now, that's not to say we're not to try to be our best, to excel, to do the very best we can. But there's a lot of preaching going on today of self-ego. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be someone well respected in the community. Jesus is the one that holds that title. Jesus is the one that ought to be preeminent. He's the one that ought to be first. So as we think of first place, I hope He's the one that holds that position. He's to be first in relation to the church. It says He's the head of the church. He's to be preeminent in the church. No man takes the place of Jesus Christ. No lady takes the place. He is the authority. He's the one to look to. His word is the one that gives us our direction. He's to be first in relation to your life, the believer's life. He's to be enthroned in your heart as first place. Can we say that this morning? Can we say, yes, Jesus is first place? He's the one that's first in my thoughts. He's the one that's first out of bed in the morning. He's the one that I give my schedule to. First. In all things, Jesus is to be first. So He's the head. He's the beginning. He is preeminent. A verse that I'm sure all of us know is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. The world bombards us with all kinds of things that they say that we just got to have. You've got to have this latest style. You've got to have this latest car. You've got to have this latest invention. You've got to have this latest electronic gimmick. You got to have it. You got to have it. You got to have it. You know you want it, so just come on and get it. Jesus says, or God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, food, clothing, shelter, and whatever else is a need, He'll give us. But seek Him first. Put Him first. God provides. God takes care of us. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is preeminent. One final position that we see that given to Jesus is in verse 19. He is all God. He is deity. It says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. You know, there's not a rivalry between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to exercise this authority here. And someone else says, well, I'm going to exercise that authority there. It says, it pleased the Father. It gave the Father pleasure that in the Son should all the fullness of God dwell. They work together. They are cohesive. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greatest team there is. All the fullness of God rests in Jesus. He is fully God. Talked to a Jehovah's Witness the other night. They don't believe that. They don't believe the fullness of God rests in Jesus. They don't see the truth of who Jesus is. They don't see Him as the Redeemer, as the one that can atone, the one that forgives sin. The Bible says Jesus is fully God. He is wisdom. He has all power. He is eternal. He is sinless. He is perfect. There is no deficiency in the eternal Son. He is God. In verse 15, it says He is the image of the invisible God. The image, the exact representation in essence and character. Not the same person, but the same in essence, the same in character. The picture, the replica of the unseen. The scene of the unseen. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it gives more light to this. Referring to Jesus, it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand, on the right hand of the Majesty on high." The brightness of His glory, the radiance, the outshining of the glory of God was in Jesus. He is the express image, the exact representation of the nature of God. It says, all things are upheld by the word of His power. The word. One word of the power of Jesus Christ upholds all things. By the word of God, creation came into focus. By the word of Jesus Christ, all things are upheld. All things are held together. The power that is in Jesus Christ. And with that, by Himself purged our sin. Only Jesus can redeem. Only Jesus can purge. Only Jesus can forgive us of our sin. Only Jesus can change a life. You know, we're seeing a lot of professions today, a lot of decisions today. But where's the changed lives? Where's the fruit? Where's the difference? He that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Oh, may we see changed lives today. What a difference that would make in America. Jesus is the one who makes that all happen. So since Jesus is fully God, He should be fully preeminent in our life. How do we do that? How do we put Jesus first in our life? How do we put Jesus first in our day? I'll just get very practical here. Acknowledge Him as you wake up in the morning. You get up in the morning, you wake up, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you for giving me this opportunity of another day. It's not, oh, it's Monday morning, oh, I gotta go to work, I gotta go through the routine again. Thank God you can go to work. Thank God you do have a day. Thank God you can get out of bed. All these things that we, woe is me, ought to be, praise God, I can do these things. Acknowledge Him as we get out of bed in the morning. Thank Him for the rest. Seek His direction for the day. Don't get out of bed without acknowledging Jesus, that He is with you. He is present today. And then spend time in His Word. You know, preferably before the day gets going. Just spend some time in His Word. Just ponder some Scripture. Get that into your heart and give you the motivation, the strength, the power of God for the day. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer, seeking His guidance for the day. I realize some of you got to get up really early. And I'm not saying spend an hour in the Word, an hour in prayer, but if it's only just a few minutes, just something from the Word, something in prayer to give you the direction to get God into your day, to have Him before us, to focus upon Him. How easy the world wants to distract and take that focus away from God. A Let's get it on Him. And then yield yourself unto Him. Confess any sin. Repent of any sin. Seek Him to be in control for the day. Lord, control my thinking. Control my actions. Control my conversation today. Just seeking His control. And then allow Him to fix your schedule. I've said this many times, but how true it is. Fix your schedule around Him, not Him around your schedule. Let Him make the schedule. And then respond. Too many times we make the schedule and then we try to fit God into our schedule. Well, if it fits in that I can read my Bible, then I'll do it. If it fits in that I can go soul winning, I'll do it. If it fits in that I can get to church, then I'll do it. That's not the way. Let Him fix your schedule. Allow Him to be the priority for the day. If it's Sunday, fix your schedule around Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Those are important times. We need those times. If it's Wednesday, fix your schedule around being in church Wednesday night. King's Kids, Bible study. Those are important times. And there's certainly other practical things that I'm sure you could pinpoint. But these are a few things. Four positions that Jesus rightfully holds. He's the head. He's the head of the church. He's the head of your life. He's the firstborn from the dead, the beginning, the first in existence. He's the preeminent one, preeminent in all things. He is first place. And He is fully God. He is deity. So because of who Jesus is, He is to hold the position of first place in my life. I've had to examine my own heart many, many times. Is He first place in this? Is He first place here? Is He first place here? We all got to examine our heart. Maybe He's first place in one area, but is He first place in this area? Does He have preeminence in all areas of our life? Does He hold that position right now? Right now, in your life? Or do we need to make Him first place? Do we need to enthrone Him in His rightful place in our life this morning? Make Him preeminent every day of your life. He is life. He is joy. He is victory. He is life itself. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He very much deserves the right to be first. He made us. He's the beginning. He gives us all that we have. Make Him first. Is there a need? Is there an area in your life this morning that you need to make Jesus first? Or maybe there's a need to be saved. Maybe this morning you just need to come and say, Lord, I've never been saved. Save me. I want You as the foundation of my life. I want to know I have forgiveness. I want You to be the Savior of my life, and then I want You to be the Lord of my life. Maybe you need to come and be saved. Make Him first in whatever area we need to make Him first.